Yeah, so empathy is one of these really interesting constructs that we all take for granted in our daily lives, and yet it provides the foundation for all of our social interactions. And so research points to the fact that there are different types of empathy. So there's a cognitive type, which is, we could understand it as being the thinking type of empathy. So we understand and appreciate the experiences and sort of emotional experience of other people. But there's also what's known as the affective type, and this is the emotional type of empathy. And this allows us to really share the emotional experience of other people. So on one hand, we can understand what people are going through via the cognitive type, but the affective type lets us really empathize and share the emotional experience of other people.
And how is this affected with people who have dementia?
So there are a certain group of dementia syndromes, so a subtype of dementia called frontotemporal dementia. And what we see in subtypes of this form of dementia is really a loss of what we call social cognition. So these patients will present with changes in personality and changes in the way that they interact with others. So they lose the capacity to interact on the socio and emotional sort of plane. They're not able to empathize. They're not able to take the perspective of other people. They're not even able to consider how their actions and their words might affect other people. So we see really that there's this social domain is highly compromised, and it can make it extremely difficult for caregivers to relate to these individuals and to try and care for them and adapt to their changing needs.
Frontal temporal dementia, that's something I've never heard of. I kind of just thought that there was a blanket term for dementia.
Yeah, so this is a common misperception about dementia. So really, when we're talking about dementia, it's an umbrella term that refers to many different forms of neurodegenerative diseases. And so frontotemporal dementia is just a subtype of dementia, and it's one of the younger onset dementias. And by younger onset, we mean that it strikes individuals typically under the age of 65 years old. So it occurs much earlier in life, and you can imagine that that causes a lot of challenges that aren't necessarily present in the later onset dementias.
Do we know what causes this particular type of dementia?
So because there are a number of different subtypes, again, within this rubric of frontotemporal dementia, there have been some links with certain mutations, genetic mutations, and there are certain different risk factors. But as with most of the dementia conundrum, it's still unclear how these different genetic factors and also environmental factors interact to cause, you know, the emergence of dementia. But certainly there are a lot of groups worldwide now chipping away at trying to understand the genetic risks and also how these symptoms then come to manifest.
When someone is diagnosed with dementia, do we know what type of dementia that they're going to get?
So this is one of the real clinical challenges that we face at the moment, that certain dementia presentations will follow a rather sort of typical route, and we'll be able to diagnose a classic, you know, memory profile is often indicative of someone who might have Alzheimer's disease. Other times the diagnosis is not so clear. And so within the clinic, it's up to us to use an array of different, what we call cognitive tests, looking at different domains of thinking, attention, language, memory, to try and work out, does this individual have the classic features of this type of dementia? And often what we resort to is also using neuroimaging. And this allows us to look then at the level of the brain and its structure and volume of different structures to see where is the pathology targeting and what regions have started to shrink. And often there are characteristic profiles of brain shrinkage, so what we call atrophy, and they can also be a clue as to what type of dementia the individual has.
Your recent research has looked at how this frontal temporal dementia affects empathy, is that right?
Yes, so we were interested to look to see what are the neural substrates, so what are the brain regions that seem particularly vulnerable in this patient group or this population. And so what we did was we looked within frontotemporal dementia, and we also used the group of Alzheimer's patients as what we call a disease control, because often we don't see the same social cognitive deficits in Alzheimer's disease. And we had caregivers rate the individuals across an array of different forms of empathy. So how the individual relates to others, whether they're able to share in the emotional experience of others and understand the different perspectives and feelings that other people have. And we were able to then look at the cognitive aspect of empathy and the affective aspect of empathy. And we found some very interesting differences. So we found that both of our dementia groups, so the Alzheimer's and the frontotemporal dementia patients, showed compromised cognitive empathy. So they seemed to both have difficulties in just appreciating the emotional perspectives of others. But we found that effective empathy, so being able to share in the emotional experience of others, was only compromised in the frontotemporal dementia group. And when we controlled for just overall disease severity, we found that this in turn explained those deficits in the Alzheimer's patients group. So it was more a cognitive problem in just understanding rather than an emotional perceptual problem per se. But in the frontotemporal dementia group, the deficits remained. So really what we're finding is that there's this gross inability to actually take the perspectives of others and to share in the emotional experience of others in this frontotemporal dementia group. And then when we used our neuroimaging analysis to look on the level of the brain, we found that atrophy and brain shrinkage in a key region of the social brain is the driving force behind these changes.
Going back to what happens when people are first diagnosed with dementia, is this sort of research going to be able to help carers understand the behaviour that that person is going to start exhibiting?
I think that's a really important point, and we certainly need to start educating our caregivers more about the types of changes that are potentially lying on the horizon for them. So we found in a separate study, actually looking at empathy in different other subtypes of dementia, that one of the key drivers of caregiver burden and caregiver distress was the emergence of some of these behavioral and social changes that they hadn't actually anticipated. So I think some knowledge in this domain is actually key, and then the caregivers can start to anticipate and respond, you know, preemptively perhaps, rather than reacting to, you know, embarrassing or awkward circumstances. So education, I think, is key.
Because it can't be easy seeing someone that you love start exhibiting behaviours that were otherwise completely out of their normal personality.
Absolutely. And to make that issue even worse is the fact that our patients show a lack of insight into their actions. So they're unaware of what they're actually doing, and they're unaware and unable to actually appreciate how these actions can impact on other people. And another factor to consider is that this is younger onset dementia. So oftentimes these individuals will still have relatively young families, they're in the workforce, they're physically able and fit. And so it can be very challenging to, you know, try and deal with these changes at a time in your life when you weren't really anticipating having to deal with dementia. So it's fraught with many different challenges and difficulties, and it can be a very distressing time for the family.
Dr. Murianne Irish, cognitive neuroscientist at Neuroscience Research Australia, ending that story.